Yet, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Yet, true godliness, please underline true godliness. That's what we need the most. True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. That's what we are focusing on. Now, everything the Lord gives us or the Lord does for us, it is to aid us, it is to help us to live righteous and godly lives. Everything the Lord, he gives us, everything the Lord does for us is so that we may live lives that are pleasing unto the Lord, right? Lives that are becoming of our calling in Jesus Christ, lives that are becoming of us as children of God, as believers, as Christians. The word of the Lord, friends, as you know, it says that his divine power has given unto us all things. His divine power has given unto us all things to do what? To live righteous and godly lives. Can you see that? His divine power has given unto us all things. We need to know the reason. We need to know the purpose, why God gives us what he gives us, why the Lord blesses us, why the Lord does for us what he does for us, right? It's so that we may live righteous and godly lives. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. He hasn't given us all things that pertain to us attracting attention to ourselves. He hasn't given us all things that causes us to be the center of attention. He hasn't given us all things that causes people to look at us, that causes people to focus on at us. No. God hasn't given us all things. His power has not given us all things for that. But that we may live, friends, lives that are godly. Everything the Lord does for you and for me, everything the Lord gives you and gives me. The whole of last week, we're talking about the issue of offering, all right? When you talk about offering, you talk about giving, you cannot escape to talk about money, all right? And some of us are so focused on money that money becomes our pursuit, becomes our earnest pursuit in life. No, friend. He says, but godliness with contentment, that's true riches. That is true wealth. He never said a lot of money. That's true riches. He never said getting a lot of money, accumulating a lot of money, that's true wealth, or acquiring educational qualifications and whatever qualifications. He never said that. We need to understand the Lord's expectation of us and why we are children of God and why it is that we are born again. This is what we are talking about. Our true wealth before the Lord is that we advance. Our true wealth before God, not what man says wealth is. No, but our true wealth before God is that we advance in righteousness. Is that we advance in holiness, is that we advance in godliness, is that we advance in purity. When God blesses us, when suddenly now you have a lot of money, you've got a lot of things, you have a lot of possessions, why has God opened that door? It's for us to advance, not to ourselves, but to advance in righteousness, in godliness, in holiness, in purity, in a life that is pleasing unto God. It gives us what it gives us. He does for us what it does for us to aid us, to aid, to help, to assist us. Now, here's the question. Whatever you do, whatever you're pursuing, whatever you are going after, what is the reason, what is the purpose for it? Whatever you are seeking to acquire and that you are acquiring, what is the purpose, what is the reason for it? Is it indeed to advance in righteousness? Is it indeed to advance in godliness? Is it indeed to advance in holiness? Because if not, then you've missed it. And this is the time when we ask God, we cry to God, God bless me, God give me this, God give me that, and God does not answer. Why? Because the motive, the purpose is wrong. It does not agree with the will of the Lord, does not agree with the purpose of God. Listen to me. You go to work so that you can live a life that is becoming of a child of God. If you are truly born again, this is the reason why you go to work, so that you don't steal, so that you don't beg, so that you don't annoy people asking them for things. No. You want to live a life that is becoming, a life that is worthy of a child of God. This is why you go to work, and God assists, God helps us. He gives us favor with our employers. He gives us favor, right? God gives us increase, gives us promotion, he gives us this, he gives us that. But what for? In order to help us to live lives that are becoming. The same thing when some of us are businessmen and women, it is the same thing when God blesses. When God opens doors that were shut. When God opens doors that you know nothing could have opened them. When God gives you opportunities that you know on your own, by yourself, you could never have had. It's for his righteousness, for holiness, for godliness, for purity. It is to live lives that are becoming before our Lord and our Father. So friends, we don't pursue money. We do not pursue things, right? Last week we were talking about offering, we were talking about giving, all right? And obviously the topic, the subject of tithe came about. But now, let's balance this. We do not pursue money. We don't pursue things. Some of us, we are pursuing these things and we are trying to justify and say, Lord, I'm doing this so that I can give to your work. No, God does not need my help. God does not need your help. Whatever he wants to do, he does not need the help of man. All right? If God is wanting for us to do something for him, for his work, God knows his own, his children that he can use and that he will use. That's just the way it is. Let us not pursue money. Let us not pursue things. Let us not pursue mammon and give an excuse that, Lord, I'm doing this for your work. So we don't pursue money. We don't pursue things, but we pursue righteousness and godliness. This is what we pursue. Now, the Bible says this is great wealth. Godliness with contentment is great wealth. It is great riches. If you read, now, before God, you see, before man, riches are something else. Before man, wealth is something else. But before God, the richest monetary in possessions and stuff like that, can I tell you now for free, is poor before God, most probably. So riches before men and riches before God, riches to men and riches to God mean totally, totally, absolutely different things. Wealth, the wealth that we are pursuing, because in our own eyes, riches and wealth, we talk about money, is the equivalent of money. Is the equivalent of things, is the equivalent of the house I'm looking for, it is the equivalent of the car that I'm looking for, it is the equivalent of the business that I'm looking for, it is the equivalent of the best job that I'm looking for. No. You and God, you lost each other with semantics. You just lost each other. When what you mean by riches, that's not what God understands to be riches. That's not what God calls to be riches. Now, this is why he says, godliness with contentment. When God has blessed you, when you are comfortable within your four walls, when you don't want to do a show off, when what God gives you, the money, when nobody, you know, these days people are saying, you have this thing that says, so and so is worth this much. You see, a child of God, no one can ever know what you're worth. Nobody can ever know what you're worth because you don't flaunt it. When God, whatever the blessing that God gives you, you do not flaunt it. God has a lot of things that he has already prepared for us to attain. But we need to grow in the following things that I will soon talk about. We need to understand and to grow in those things that I will soon talk about. And when we understand and we grow in those things, it'll be easy for God to release, to let go, for the things to become a reality in our lives. Verse number 11. Now it says, but you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life. This is what we ought to pursue. Righteousness and a godly life. Not riches, not to be rich, not fame, not power, not influence, not to be known. No. Not to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning because, no, friends. No. Wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, pursue righteousness and a godly life. Wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, pursue God, seek God. Not to wake up in the morning so that I can earn better money at the end of the week, at the end of the fortnight, at the end of the month. No, friends, no. We need to understand what true riches, what great wealth, according to the scriptures, biblically, divinely, what it is. You know, there is nowhere in the scriptures where you are told that Job did anything to become rich, but yet God made rich. You see, when you don't do something to become rich, then that's when God will make you rich, because everything that you do is to know him. Everything that you do is to approach him, is to draw closer to him. Now, when we do that, now that's when God makes us rich. When we are no longer, can I tell you something? When we're no longer looking for riches, when we no longer want riches, when we no longer want money, that's when God releases. When we no longer want it. Why? Because now our hearts are in the right place. And when God releases, he exceeds our expectations. He exceeds the things that we had wanted for ourselves. When God releases, he gives you far much more than what you were expecting. Than what you were expecting when you were still pursuing it. Your people are sitting here, some of you people of God, beautiful people of God, you are job hunting. You are looking for jobs. If you can start prioritizing God in your pursuit, God will give you a job you don't deserve. I know who I'm talking to. I know. If you will start prioritizing the pursuit of God, instead of prioritizing the pursuit of your job, God will give you a job you don't deserve. I just spoke. Are we together? But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life. Friends, our main pursuit and goal of life, is to pursue divine knowledge, divine wisdom, divine understanding. To pursue this, not to pursue things. He said, run away from these things, Timothy, but pursue righteousness, pursue a godly life. According to the scriptures, this is what results in true riches, in true wealth. That is why he says godliness with contentment. And if you continue reading, the servant of the Lord says to Timothy, Timothy, with clothing, with food, we should be content. I want to add the third leg to that, with accommodation. With food, with clothing, it's a blessing. You know, some of us are sitting here and not aware that the fact that we can eat is a blessing from God. The fact that we can dress warm is the blessing of God. The fact that we can wear clothes that are smelling new is the blessing of God. The fact that we have a roof over our head, most of us are not even aware that's a blessing. Now he says, if we are content with the food that I've given you, with the clothes that I've given you, with the shelter that I've given you, now God says, I'll bless you because you are content. You see what attracts the blessing? Contentment. Godliness with contentment. Are we content? Or are we discontented because the house is small? Suddenly the house has become small. When we got it, we're very excited. We never stop thanking God for it. But today, because we've become familiar to the house, it is suddenly small. Today we've become familiar to the yard, it has suddenly become small. Today we've become familiar to the vehicle, suddenly it has become small. It's suddenly no longer of standard. Discontented. Now no matter how much we pray, we have oil poured on our heads, hands laid on our heads. Without contentment, with the blessing that God has already given, how does God release another blessing? But now, the scriptures, the man of God is saying to Timothy, for God to bless you beyond your wildest imaginations is when we are content, my son. Be content with what he has already given you. Some of you get home today, open your wardrobe and start thanking God. Some of you will be shocked of the things that are in your wardrobe. But not only of the things that are in your wardrobe, but the value. It's easy for you to buy something that is worth over 2,000 rand. Very easy. But you think of the person who can only buy something from Pep Store, from Ackermans, shops that in your world don't exist because God has blessed you so much. Contentment. Godliness with contentment. Are we together? Now, he says, this is true riches, this is true wealth. And the wealth we're talking about is wealth that is permanent. Not wealth that is short-lived, that is momentary, that is fleeting. Wealth that easily grow wings and run away, flee away from us. Not wealth that is false or riches that are false, but that which is true, that which comes from the Lord. There's something I love with something that comes from God. What comes from God, no man can take away from you. That's the permanency of it. What comes from God, there is no thief that can rob you of it. God protects it. It comes from the Lord. It is permanent. It is true. It is sure. Proverbs chapter number 4. Verses 5-7. Get wisdom. Get understanding. This is what the Bible says. Pursue wisdom. Pursue understanding. That get there is pursue until you attain. Can you see that? Pursue until you attain. All right. Why perhaps a lot of us as children of God, as believers, we are not full of the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge of the Lord? Because we are not pursuing. We are not seeking after. We are not digging, delving deeper. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her that is wisdom. And she will preserve you, that is wisdom. Love her, that is wisdom. And she will keep you, that is wisdom. She will keep you. She will preserve you. Do not forsake her. Oh my goodness. She doesn't forsake you, but you can forsake her. Once you've attained her, she's permanent. She's permanently with you. Wisdom number 7 is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding, and in all your pursuit, pursue understanding. This is what ought to be our primary and foremost pursuit, according to the Bible. I know we are pursuing our own things. I know we are pursuing things that make sense to us. I know we are pursuing things that men are saying, people are saying, this is what is to be pursued. But what does the Word of God say? This is why the Lord says, He gives his children sleep. He makes them to lie down to sleep. He makes them to lie down in green pastures. God, he gives his children sleep because God, he's the one who is blessing them. Now, his children, they don't go around pursuing for blessings and trying to make it. Can I say something? God can bless you sitting in your living room, on your knees or on your chair, focusing like a flint on God. You see, it's the godliness that is the source of great wealth, great riches, the pursuit of godliness. Tell me, say, the pursuit of godliness. That's right. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, this is ought to be our primary and our foremost pursuit. Now, the Bible says, with this comes true riches. Why pursue? Why? Listen what it says. Get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. God says, you won't be working so hard. You won't be destroying your own body. Trying to get ahead in life. Trying to get things. No. God says, pursue this one. Our primary and foremost pursuit. Primary and foremost. With this comes true riches, comes through true wealth. Wealth that is holy, riches that are holy, that come from above, that God has given. All right? And like I said, I'm going to repeat this. The beautiful part, one of the beautiful parts with this is the fact that what God gives you, no man can take away from you. No man can take away from you. When God has lifted you up, awoo we. Why? Because he's the one who sustains you. When God has lifted you up, you don't fall because it's God who lifted you, but also he sustains you. Oh, come on, somebody. Awoo we. The lifting of the Lord, gifts, and the calling of God are without repentance. Awoo we. When God has lifted you. Even when you become unfaithful, God remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. If it is God who has lifted you, no man can bring you down. This is what we ought to be looking for. But if it's man who makes you, man will deal with you. Man has got time when he will deal with you. If it's man who has made you, do you want to be made by God or to be made by men? Want to be blessed by men or to be blessed by God? Proverbs chapter number 3 from verse number 13. We read from the CEV. God blesses everyone who has wisdom and common sense. God blesses everyone who has wisdom and common sense. I say this a lot to my wife because I deal with people on a daily basis. And people amaze me because I find that common sense is not so common with a lot of people. It is not so common. You'll be shocked. I deal with people daily. Can you see that? Now, I like it in the King James Version, the verse number 13. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Blessed is the man who gains understanding. Now, it tells you how things come about, how riches come about, how wealth come about. It's not the money you give to your prophet after your prophet has prophesied, after your prophet has promised you a rich and a great harvest that has never come since. It has never come since. And can we tell you this freely? It'll never come. It'll never come. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Verse number 14, as you know, we are reading from the CEV. Wisdom is worth more than silver. It makes you much richer than gold. What makes you rich? Listen, we are talking about the word of God. All right? How to be rich, how to be wealthy, how to really get ahead in life. Some of the people that are drowning in debts and are having financial difficulties are professors, people who are seriously educated with a lot of educational attainments. Education does not make anyone rich. No. Worldly knowledge does not make anyone rich. Wisdom is worth more than silver. It makes you much richer. Aren't we happy the Bible says wisdom makes you rich? So what should you pursue then? The Bible says wisdom makes you rich. And it says you makes you richer than gold. That means your riches will be more than that of money. Some of us, according to understanding, the only riches we understand is the riches of money, is the riches of things, is the riches of possessions. No, when you've got 5 cars, you say you are rich. God says you are a fool. When you have 10 houses, you say you are rich. God says you are a fool. Fool, your soul will be required this night from you. Whose will these things be that we have accumulated? Fool. You see, now, but true wisdom leads us to true riches, leads us to true wealth. That is above, far above silver and gold. That means far above money. Far above money. Wisdom is worth more than silver. It makes you much richer than gold. Wisdom is more valuable. Oh my goodness, listen to that. Wisdom is more valuable than precious jewels. Nothing you want compares with her. Nothing you want, nothing you can pursue compares with wisdom. In her right hand, wisdom holds a long life. And in her left hand are wealth and honor. Wealth and honor. Riches, wealth, honor. That above, greater. No comparison with money, with gold, and all of these things. No comparison with the riches of this world. Wisdom number 17 makes life pleasant. Wisdom makes life pleasant and leads us safely along. Wisdom is a life-giving tree, the source of happiness for all who hold on to her. The source of happiness. The source of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Are you looking for happiness? Are you looking for a great life? Are you looking for a good life? Pursue wisdom. Pursue understanding that comes from above. If this is what we are looking for, wisdom is the principal thing in all you're getting. Get understanding. We need divine wisdom, friends, divine knowledge, divine understanding to truly be happy and live our best lives here on earth. Is the best life on earth possible? Yes, it is possible. And the Word of God tells us how. It is not a secret. Is my best life now possible? Yes. But not in the way that has been given to us. Not in the way that has been sold to us. Not in the way that church and ministers have sold it to us. Wisdom is principal. Wisdom is primary. Wisdom is fundamental. Wisdom is seminal. It is the most important thing. Wisdom is the integral part of the Christian life. Wisdom is the integral part, the main part of a Christian life. Wisdom is the most needful thing in a believer for a believer. Wisdom is the most needful thing in a believer for a believer. Listen what the Word of God says. The Bible says, Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom and in stature. The Amplified says, he kept increasing. He kept increasing in wisdom. He kept increasing in stature. Stature means maturity. The Lord, he grew in wisdom. Now, here's the thing. If Jesus did not grow in wisdom, would it be the Jesus that he is today? Would he have done the things that he had done? Would he? Now it tells you everything, and we'll see in the scriptures, everything that Jesus Christ did, it took wisdom, it took understanding, it took knowledge. I'll show you by scripture. Everything that he did. This is why he could come to a multitude of sick people, people that were desperate for help, and in some instances, he could not pray for all of them. You remember the one instance? He only prayed for one, but we are forgetting that this is the man who walked in wisdom, walked in understanding, who walked in knowledge. He grew in it. He grew in it. Why? Jesus is the pattern. Jesus as man on earth is a pattern for a believer, is a pattern for a Christian. If he grew in wisdom, that means you and I ought to grow in wisdom. If he grew in stature, in maturity, you and I have to grow in maturity. We desire to walk at the level that Jesus Christ walked, but this is one who grew in wisdom. I say, this is one who grew in wisdom. We want to pray for everyone. We want to prophesy for anything that moves. You see, we're lacking wisdom. And because of that, we are limiting the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For lack of wisdom, for lack of knowledge, for lack of understanding. We are limiting God. For lack of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, we are short-circuiting the workings of God, the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are short-circuiting the anointing of God. We are short-circuiting the power for lack of walking in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding. We are short-circuiting. God is not able to. Holy Spirit is not able to express himself fully, freely, unhindered in our lives and through our lives because we are lacking in this area. Jesus Christ did not lack because he grew in it. He grew in it. Hallelujah. He grew in it. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Nothing of significance and lasting value. Nothing of significance and lasting value can any one of us achieve or accomplish as a child of God. Nothing of significance, nothing of lasting value can any one of us, children of God, achieve without wisdom, without understanding, without knowledge. It is there in the scriptures. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. What can we build? What can we establish? Without wisdom, without understanding. That's why we are trying to build things. The things that we are trying to build, they don't come together. We are trying to build things as children of God. The things that we are trying to build, they fall apart. But he told you, you require wisdom to build. He told you, in order to establish, you require understanding. I will repeat again. We are trying to do things, and the things that we are trying to build, they don't come together. Sometimes we build, but it cannot stay. It falls apart. But it tells you, unless we employ wisdom and understanding, there is nothing of significance. There is nothing of lasting value. You see, significance and lasting value, that is the language of God. God doesn't just want you to build something and then tomorrow it's over. And then tomorrow it's gone. No. He says to David, on your throne will sit kings eternally. That's the language of God. This is why God is not interested in you only, but is interested in your generations. God is interested in your children. God is interested in your child's child. So what he does It is significant. It is meaningful. And it is lasting. It is lasting. Modimo aache mokuku. God doesn't build a shack, because a shack is only temporary. A shack is momentarily. All right? No. That's why the things of God have foundation. If you want to build something that lasts, you know you must have a true, a real, and strong, and firm, and steadfast foundation. Foundation. Hallelujah. Are we seeing it, friends? Now it is for this reason that the Bible says Jesus, he grew in wisdom and he grew in maturity by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he couldn't build anything. He couldn't establish anything. He couldn't do anything without wisdom, without understanding, without knowledge. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Without this, he would not have achieved what he did for God. Without this, he would not have served God in a way that is pleasing before God. If he couldn't, neither can we. Neither can we. Unless you and I are better than Jesus. Unless you and I are greater than Jesus. And indeed, you and me are greater than Jesus. You and me are better than Jesus. It's so clear. It's so evident. It's so apparent. Because you and me, we think that we can do everything, anything that we desire, that we set our heart on, without wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. We're greater than Jesus. We're bigger than Jesus. Yet Jesus knew, unless the Spirit of my Father rest upon me, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Right there you can see the source of the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that we are talking about. The Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. With wisdom, we build. We build our lives. We build our homes. We build our companies. We build our careers with understanding. We get things established. Why are we drowning in debt today? Because we lacked wisdom. We lacked understanding. We lack divine knowledge. Now we are drowning. We are drowning. We are drowning. We cannot build. We thought with debt we could build things. We thought by taking another debt, we thought we could build. No. But it says, in order to build, to establish anything that is of significance, that is of value, you require me wisdom. You require me understanding. And it says, Pastor Rubs, he says, the part I did not read. He says, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. It takes divine knowledge to walk in riches that education could not, that anything, anyone cannot. It takes the knowledge that comes from above. To build edifices for God, to establish corporates for God, to build things that will stand in the honor, in the glory, and to the praise of God. That's the reason why we live. To raise the name of Jesus. To raise the name of Jesus. Not to raise our names. John says, Lord, let me decrease and you increase in me. This is the reason. To raise the honor of Jesus, to raise the praise of Jesus, to raise the name of Jesus. This is wisdom. When you understand that truly you have wisdom. Everything I do for him. I do for Christ. is because I'm thinking of the name of Jesus. I don't want his name to be shamed. I know I've got the weakness of alcohol, but I will do this in the privacy of my home. Not that it's right, but I know I need deliverance, and Brapira will come and deliver me one day. Everything we do for him. Not doing things blatantly and openly, thereby bringing shame to the name of the Lord. Thereby bringing shame to the name of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 3, verses 19 and 20. 19 and 23 Proverbs. The Lord by wisdom. Who, friends? Without wisdom. By wisdom. The Lord. He's talking about God. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Can you see that? Even God himself. God had to summon for the Lord to do anything, for the Lord to build, for the Lord to establish, for the Lord to feel. He had to summon his own wisdom, his own understanding, his own knowledge. God, let's put it this way, he couldn't do anything without. God couldn't do anything, couldn't establish anything. He couldn't make anything beautiful without wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. God, our Father. How much more about you and I, friends? God our Father, when you see the stars suspended in the sky, that's the result. When you see the sun suspended in the sky, that's the result. You see the moon, that's the result. The blue that you see in the sky, that is the result. When you see the beauty of nature, it is the result of wisdom, understanding, of knowledge of God. You and me are a miracle, a walking miracle of God. It is because it is the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge of God that made you and me. We are products, we are results. Now, if we are products, if we are results of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, it tells you, you and I can do nothing without the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge that made you and me. That is why for God to bless you, it does not require anything. He requires only himself. I say he requires only himself. He doesn't require anything. He requires only himself. Proverbs chapter number 8, I'm closing right now. I'm closing. Father, we bless you today. Proverbs chapter number 8. And verse number 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Verse number 14, counsel is mine and the sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. Listen what it says, by me, kings reign. By the way, these are God-ordained kings. Let's understand that. All right? So the categories of authorities that he mentions here, those are God-ordained. By me, kings reign, wise kings, and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. Come on, they can't do it without. These are God-ordained people. God, he says, I will not place a king, I won't place a prince, I won't place a ruler, I won't place a noble without wisdom, because they will not be able to do that which I've called them to do. They will not be able to do that which I've put them there to do. They won't be able to do. This is why if God can place a president, make someone a president of the country, God will never make a mistake of not giving them wisdom. Never forget it. If it's God who places the person there, if God is to make you the CEO of Absa Bank, If it's God who places you there, he will never make the mistake of putting you there without helping you, assisting you, backing you up with wisdom. This is the reason why when God raises a minister, a pastor, a minister of the gospel, majority of the congregations, they disagree with such a one because they want common wisdom, the wisdom of man. But it's not the wisdom of man that God gives in order for us, all right, to lead for him with. It's not. It's not. It's not common. And the wisdom of God is foolishness to our minds. I say the wisdom of God is foolishness to our minds. This is why we fight with our spiritual leaders most of the time. I mean, the true ones, the ones that have not backslidden yet, the ones that are still walking with the Lord, we fight with them. Because we want them to do things that are common sense, things that are common knowledge. But no, the wisdom of God is nothing, is anything but common. I say the wisdom of the Lord is anything but common. It's anything but common. This is why you can say, but the pastor is now, he's committing foolishness. Because the wisdom of God is foolishness. Like, yeah, now he missed it. He's lost it. But who is talking in you? Your mind. It is your human wisdom talking. You see? The divine wisdom is foolishness to human wisdom. It's foolishness. Now, verse number 17 of Proverbs chapter number 8. We're reading from verse number 17. It says, I love those who love me. That's wisdom talking, right? He says, she says rather, I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. What a reassurance. What a reassuring statement. Now, listen, friends, riches and honor are with me. Riches, wealth, honor, possessions, great possessions. He says of the Lord Jesus Christ, he grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, and not only that, but now he says, and he grew in favor with God and with men. Oh my goodness. That means no one could withhold anything from Jesus that God wanted them to give him. Now tell me how rich that is. When you cannot be denied anything that God wants anyone to give to you. Because you've made God your priority. Riches and honor with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Enduring, you see what I said? Permanent. Permanent. Not the one moment I have a good job, the next moment I lost it. The one moment I have a good salary, the next moment I lost it. The one moment I have good business going, the one moment I lost it. No, enduring, permanent, lasting riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. This is what I keep on underscoring. It is the riches of God, the wealth of God that we get, all right, by, through the wisdom of God, the understanding of God, the knowledge of God, that which comes from above. It cannot be compared with money, with the riches of this world. It cannot be, there's no comparison. There is no comparison. And this is what the Lord says, get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing in all your getting, get wisdom. In all your pursuit, pursue understanding, pursue wisdom. Now he says, I traverse, number 20, I traverse the way of righteousness. King James says, I lead the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. Oh, come on. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, to inherit. You know what is to inherit? To inherit is not to work for it. I have physical kids, biological children. Inheriting, it means I hand over. Now, wisdom says, I cause you to inherit. You don't work for it. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Pastor Raps has got children. They know their cars are theirs, their house is theirs. Their father does not need to say anything. When the inheritance changes hands, you don't work for it. Who of us here can work for inheritance? You don't work for inheritance. Inheritance is given to you. And here's the thing, that means someone else has worked for it. This is why the Lord says, I will give you the sinner's wealth. You see, that means the sinners worked for it. You don't have to work for it. And they're not getting me. I'm so disappointed. Now it says, verse number 21, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Fill. All right? God says, I want to fill your bank account. No. Treasuries, bank accounts. Ah, come on. Wisdom says, if you seek for me, you will find me. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Now it says, that I may cause you who love me to inherit wealth, and that I may fill your bank accounts, your treasuries. Listen to verse number 20. Humbling. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. It says, even the Lord. That's how you have riches all over the world that God created. Riches are everywhere. Riches in the atmosphere, riches in the water, riches under the ground. This world is full of riches everywhere. Came from where? Wisdom. He says, God possessed me from the beginning of his works. That's why you have the earth is so rich. Rich beyond measure. How is that possible? Wisdom. Wisdom. Some of us, we have houses. We don't know what is under the houses. 20 meters down, we don't know what is there. But it's under our houses. That's our property. 50 meters down, we don't know what is there. You get what I'm saying? But wisdom says, pursue me. Seek me. As I close, nothing of significance and lasting value can any one of us achieve, accomplish as a child of God without divine wisdom, divine understanding, divine knowledge. What we need most, far much more than anything, what we need most, friends, far much more than anything, is not more money. Christian, child of God, believer, what you need most is not more money. It is not a better paying job. Stop jumping from job to job. But I think some of us now are very tired of it because nothing really changes. What we need is not even necessarily a better qualification. Friends, we don't even need a network of influential people, a network of powerful people, a network of rich people. What we need is what only God can give us. Let's clap hands for Jesus today.